if you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time.
Well, good morning and welcome to the March the 12th edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we do thank you for tuning into the program, listening to the program, being online, and also via the Gmail. We thank you so much for listening to the program. To get in contact with the program, as usual, I'll give you the main number that you can call, and it is 516-453-9921. And if you have a question or comment, you know what to do. Just press the number one button, wait, and then give your name to the call screener, and then the call screener will let me know or type it in so that when I come to you, I can properly address you. Excuse me. Now, if you are a first-time caller, you do the same thing except for this. When you do call in, make sure that you tell the call screener that you are a first-time caller, and the call screener will alert me so that we make sure that you are heard. Okay. Now, if you prefer to have me read your question or comment, you can do that by accessing me through my Gmail, which is the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, M-R-B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I will get that, and I will let you know that I have received it. And then at a certain time, when the call volume is a little low, then Gmail will be read. I don't know what order it'll come in, but it will be read, and I will let you know about that also. And lastly, you may join the chat room, as Emery Lumumba has done, and I call him Sat7. He's in the house. But all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. And when you do that, you want to go to where it says, I want to say shows, but that's not true. You want to get on the main menu where I guess it's programs, and you want the Produce Justice Show. Then when you get on that, you press that, and then, the Produce Justice Show will come up, and then you hit the Produce Justice Show, and you are in. The chat room becomes available for you, and then you can get in there and follow all the chat rules, and there you go. There you go. So I think that's it that you have to do. And I'll be happy to assist you in it. But when you get in the chat room, make sure, make sure that you do not ask me a question to ask Mr. Fuller, because that's what the Gmail is for, and that is what the phone calls are for. So you don't have to do that. So don't ask me a question for that. But I will occasionally take something that is from the chat room and then formulate my own question. And then if there's a part of you, I will give you the credit for that. We'll do that. Okay, as announcement-wise, Mr. Fuller will be on live on the Carl Nelson Show this Thursday, March the 14th, from 8 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. That's the Carl Nelson Show, March the 14th, from 8 until 10 a.m., that's on the Carl Nelson Show. So make sure that you bookmark that so that you can listen more for whatever Mr. Fuller and Carl Nelson will discuss. Okay, I think that is it for the morning announcements. So let me go on with the program. Let me present to some and feature to others, or give the others, Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Mr. Fuller, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Let's move into thoughts and expressions on the mind of Mr. Fuller. That's a segment that we have where he leads off and gives you what is on his mind. Mr. Fuller, thoughts and expression, what's on your mind for this week as we open up the show?
Well, I've been told that this whole month, last month was Black History Month, and I've been told that this is Women's Month. That was Black History, broadly speaking, in February, and now it's March, and this is Women's Month. All women, all female persons, okay? So I was thinking along those lines, focusing on Black females, and I said, from what I've been hearing, and it came up last month in Black History Month, and so one of the best things I think that can be said as a codified instruction or suggestion when it comes to Black females, the whole world, and particularly when it comes to Black males, should from this moment forward, if you haven't been doing it already, and that will include me and everybody else who is a Black male particularly, should apply to everybody, including other Black females, never, 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 ever say or do anything involving a Black female that is derogatory. Never. Never, ever say or do anything, that's the least bit derogatory, a put down, etc., 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 involving a Black female that is derogatory, regardless of how you, what she's doing and what she's saying. And Black females do a lot of things that upset a lot of people, and you might say should, until you think about the Black female's history. And then all the wind goes out of that sail that's going against anything that she, the Black female of this planet, has said or done that shouldn't have been said or done. That should be the position from now on. If you haven't been doing it already, that includes me and everybody else, because I was kind of raised in the tradition that Black females are supposed to be subordinate and, this and that. When men get ready to talk, close the door on the Black female, because she ain't got nothing to do with nothing that makes sense. Where would that arrogance come from? Black males wouldn't have nothing going for them. Might not even exist. Or might surely, when it comes to, if they're Black, if it wasn't for the Black female. The Black female person, regardless of how vile she acts, and a lot of them do act that way, I heard somebody screaming just about a week ago. It was a black female about 3 o'clock in the morning. And she was saying a lot of things that I wouldn't even say. She was yelling at somebody. But I thought, she's damaged.
Mm-hmm.
She needs help. All black females need more help than anybody on the planet. Every last one of them. I don't care whether they're in Timbuktu or wherever. Harlem, San Diego, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Ottawa, Brazil. They have all been abused and mistreated. Every last one of them. Some of the most abused, if not the most abused people that ever walked this planet. So don't ever say anything to or about, from this moment on, any particularly black female that is derogatory. If you can't say something helpful and constructive, don't say nothing or do anything. Saying and doing. From this moment on, no matter how much of it you have been doing, and if you're a black male, whatever you've been doing hasn't been enough. That's of constructive value. As far back as the historical record will show, I'm a black male. I know this is true. I've been a part of it. That black females somehow should be secondary to everything, or third place or fourth place. No. Where a black male is concerned, hey, that's sacrilegious. You say or do anything that's derogatory.
Mm-hmm.
Say or do. From here on in, from this moment on, why? There's a reason why. Logical. She's the most abused creature on the face of this earth, bar none. And it ought to stop instantly. If we're talking about Women's History or Black History Month and all this kind of stuff, hey, there are some things you can stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing that. Can't do much under the system of white supremacy, but there are some things you can stop doing, that you can stop doing, and stop doing any of that, and make a suggestion to everybody you encounter that they stop doing it too.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. I'm ready for questions.
Okay. All right. Let's see, get a little information out. Thank you for the emails and calls that I received, you know, concerning Hell You Talking About by Jeremiah Wright. People wrote in and called in and really appreciated that, particularly since it was, 8 years ago? And it was prophetic right up to the day's date. So thank you for all those that did that. For those of you who haven't seen it or listened to it, check it out. It's called Hell You Talking About by the Reverend Jeremiah A. Wright. Okay, Mr. Fuller, in your day, do you know anything about IndyCar driving, black racers, or anything like that, or have you ever heard anything about that?
No.
Okay.
I saw something the other day on television. You're talking about, like, auto racing?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I saw a segment. I didn't know that black people were into any of that, but I understand they have been for some time.
Yes.
I saw something on television. And so, well, I haven't had time to think about it much one way or another because
okay.
I was surprised to see it.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and,
right. Well, you know, since you brought about, you know, black women, there probably has been, you know, black women in auto racing. I haven't heard any yet, but I'm sure that there is some information, you know, about that. But I brought that up in because I didn't know this. This was sent to me a couple of days ago. It was about a black driver, and some of you may know him. I didn't know him. His name was Charlie Wiggins. And let me just read this, and then we'll move on. He was the Indiana Klan didn't allow black drivers at the Indy 500, but Hoosier Charlie Wiggins had an unquenchable need for speed. On August the 7th, 1926, he cruised to victory in the Gold and Glory Sweepstakes Championship, a segregated auto race for African American drivers, revving his engine in front of a thrilled crowd of 12,000 gathered at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. Wiggins took the lead in the 72nd lap. The crowd was amazed, but few knew the full scope of Wiggins' wild style genius. The Negro Speed King, that was quoted, was a master mechanic and self-taught fuel scientist. He could diagnose ailing engines just by listening to them, and his touch was magic. His, quote, Wiggins special, end of quote, was powered by his own premium blend of oil and airplane fuel. The Golden Glory race itself was established by the Colored Speedway Association, a racially integrated automotive brain trust of five that include African-American business leaders as Harry Dalton, William Rucker, George Lemon, Ernest J. Buffett, Alvin Smith, and two white businessmen, Harry Earl and Oscar Schilling. The seven had come together in 1924 to sanction a national racing series for black drivers. Wiggins was to go on and claim a trilogy of gold and glory wins in 1931, 32, and 33. Recounts race historian Todd Gold, Indy car driver Harry McQuinn had asked Wiggins to loan him a car for a race in Louisville, Kentucky in 1928. Charlie agreed on the condition he drive the turning runs at the speedway himself. When the white spectators in Louisville saw a black man driving, they mobbed the pits, arrested for his own protection. Wiggins was charged with speeding. IndyCar pilot Bill Cummings knew that Wiggins could do what he could do in 1934. He hired him to tune his racing car for the 500. By day, Wiggins, swept floors and posed as a humble janitor. At night, though, he overhauled Cummings' car and made it purr like a kitten, and he won and set track records. How about that? Charlie Wiggins, a moment in black history that we don't know about. I'm pretty sure there were some women that were probably race car drivers, too, that we don't know about. Okay, let's go to the phone calls, and let's start off in, New York. Get ready, Tess, as I put this little cursor over here. Here we go. Ready? Let me see. Do it. Okay, wait a minute. There we go. All right, Tess, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Mr. Fuller, you have mentioned your father's four principles of life. My question is, how often did you and your father speak of these four principles when growing up?
How often have I spoke of it?
How often did you speak with your father about the four principles of life?
Oh, You mean whether it was his or mine?
His four principles.
He talked about his four principles. And it's on his gravestone in Muskogee, Oklahoma, because that's where he's buried. And that's what gave me the idea to add to it. His was religion, industry, and education, and politics,
law,
I believe.
Okay, got it.
Right, or something like that. I remember three of them at least, because I haven't been visited his grave since he was buried. Like, I think this applies to a whole lot of people. A lot of graves they haven't gone back to. I never went back to my father's grave on Memorial Day or any other day, or my mother's. Once they were in the ground, that was it. But the only reason for me mentioning that at all, what was on his headstone, was that that's where originally my ideas for the nine areas of activity came from. Only I changed industry, I changed it to economics. And so then, like I have all through the writings of my book, The Counter-Racist Code, that you can get by going to producejustice.com, I say it over and over and over again, the nine areas of activity, people activity. I don't call it life. I call it the nine areas of people activity. We have existence. We don't really have lives, according to the code. Living doesn't include people who murder people. That's not living. If you got anybody murdering anybody, you haven't really gotten to even having thoughts about, because it's a contradiction, about having any regard for life. In fact, under the system of white supremacy, which is the strongest government on the world, on the planet, we worship death. We worship death. Murder is something we worship. Well, all of some of the best writers, the most imaginative writers of fact and fiction. We got to have a lot of murder in here. I mean, you know, write about murder. Make up stories about murder. Murders that have never happened. Murders that you never thought of happening. I mean, write about them. Encourage people to do more of it. And then moan about it when they do it. Or say that they shouldn't do it. It's crazy. But that's what you get in the system of white supremacy. It's a warped system, crippled system, perverted system, but it's powerful, the most powerful system on earth. But getting back to the nine areas, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, counter-war. Now, this grew out of a headstone back in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Thank you. Thank you, Tess, very much for your phone calls. Get this Gmail in here. See, this person does not want their name mentioned, so I'll comply. By the way, the number to get in contact is 516-453-9921. Okay, this comes from anonymous. It says, Mr. Fuller, hi. I want to know if it's impossible for the white supremacists to keep themselves on top without token non-whites' role in the system of white supremacy. Now, the reason I'm asking about this is that most females labeled as, quote, blacks in America, end of quote, are raising their children mostly in one-parent households, in my opinion, because a lot of them listen to hypersexual mainstream hip-hop lyrics, which are sung, now he's just saying in his opinion, which are sung by and written by token non-whites. What is your thought on that, Mr. Fuller?
Well, any type of abuse that you can think of has been heaped on black females. I just spoke about that just a few minutes ago. All types of abuse, you name it, they've been through it and are still suffering from it. And they can't raise nobody because the white supremacists got it set up so that the black male can't do nothing to help himself.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say anything about what's supposed to be somebody who can depend on him, and that's the black female. She gives birth to all of us, all of the black males, and then she receives abuse from the black male because she can't be a man in the system of white supremacy. So
correct.
She has to fill that void. She has to be everything. She has to have two jobs and bring home the bacon, and he's on the couch because he can't find work because he ain't going to be hired.
Mm-hmm.
To do certain things, okay? So then they get in arguments about that. She's talking about how shiftless he is and all like that, and it's back and forth. So they, you know, he says, well, hey, if you keep this up, I'm leaving, you know? And he does. And there she is, I mean, with six children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're growing up to be bandits and whatnot, because that's how the white supremacists want it.
Yes.
They deliberately do this and laugh about it and feel like they've accomplished something great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the last, I'll say, 40 years, they have been kind of easing away from it and trying to really head in the direction of saying none of this never happened. And rewriting the history books.
Yes, they are.
And trying,
trying to.
And we're talking about women's history and all like that. They're
mm-hmm.
trying to write it. They're trying to, what you call, sanitize everything. They're not sanitizing nothing. They're polluting everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What they have left standing, because now they're erasing history. I mean, erasing it and trying to come up with everything was all utopia. Slavery
mm-hmm.
didn't exist. That's what they'll be saying in 10 years
mm-hmm.
and insist on it being talked about in schools.
Yes.
Slavery?
Yes.
What's that? Yeah.
Yeah,
they'll do that if they can get away with it.
If they can get away with it, yes. Mm-hmm. This
I
is
hope
preci-
I haven't digressed. Right.
No, you haven't digressed. This is precisely why I brought up Charlie Wiggins, because I didn't know about that. And most of us, I'm figuring that most of us did not know about black IndyCar drivers or even black jockeys at the, Kentucky Derby.
We will never know. I mean, we haven't even... I have come to the conclusion that what you call black history under the system of white supremacy, we will never know even a fraction. Never know it. Even a fraction of what all that history is like or how far back it goes.
Yes.
They could have been lying about that even 2,000 years ago, when most scholars will say, I mean serious scholars, studying how long this thing called white supremacy has been around, or attempts to be white supremacists, it's been at the very minimum 2,000 years. We keep talking about this 400. They say this 400 is just the last tip of it.
Yeah.
This stuff goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
Way back.
This is precisely why people enjoy listening to the different stories that you have to tell, because we don't have to look at it in a book or see it in a documentary. We can hear you say how it really was and what you went through. With that, we're going to take a break right now. You are listening to the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and we thank you so much for your listenership. And we would like for you to call in, and you can do that by calling 516-453-9921. Make sure you press the number one button if you have a question or comment, or VGQ, as Mr. Fuller calls it, and we will listen to it. Just make it short. If you're a first-time caller, please make sure that you tell the call screener that you are a first-time caller. They will alert me, or he will alert me, and then we'll make sure that you be heard. The second way that you can do that is you can email me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY at gmail.com. I will get that, and then I will let you know that I have received it, and I will read it at a certain time and give you all the credit. And lastly, you can join the chat room, which the chatters have done. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. When you do that, you want to click on Programs, the program menu. And when you click that up, then there will be a list of shows. And you want the Produce Justice show. You click on that, and the chat room becomes available, and you can do that, as a few have done. And we thank you for all that. Okay. And don't forget, this is the second announcement on this. Mr. Fuller will be heard on live this coming Thursday, March the 14th at 8 a.m. on the Carl Nelson Show. Put that down. Put that down so you can hear Mr. Fuller on the Carl Nelson Show. That will be on the 14th at 8 a.m. And I believe that you can get that on our Produce Justice website, the producejustice.com website. I think that's up there. It will be up there where you can listen to the show right there. Okay. Oh, yeah, let me give this shout-out to the Gatewood Brothers. Yeah, singing, what is it, quartet for them? Yeah. Yeah, the Gatewood Brothers, they did a good job. All righty. Let's do this. Let me finish that Gmail, Mr. Fuller, because you answered the first part of that by anonymous. I got you online, Corey, and what is that? B Money or Bo Money from? Yeah, okay, new caller. Yeah, we'll get you in here. Okay, I want to finish up this. This person also wrote that I'm not supposed to give the name. He says, I also want to ask this question because, in my opinion, a lot of black males raised in single-parent households with mostly only mothers are mentally female. I even, in my humble opinion, mentally think like a black female, though I'm a straight black male who was raised without a father. Could you address that, Mr. Fuller?
Well, welcome to the club. I mean, none of us, even those like myself, who say that we have fathers, and I'm supposed to be one, okay, and I do my best, you know, in these last decades of my existence on this planet. But under the system of white supremacy, there's no such thing as a black father. Let's just get that straight right out the gate. They don't exist. All of the fathers of, if you can put it in quotes, of every black person on this planet, right here in 2024, are white. What is a father? A person who is in charge. Black people are not in charge of nothing on this planet, nowhere. Pick out a place and say, now this is where black people are completely out from under the system of white supremacy. The white supremacists can't come here and do nothing. They can't even remotely control, handle any of the business that's going on here. Name mm-hmm. such a place anywhere on planet Earth here in 2024, which means, oh, you got a lot of black people who do their best to be supportive, and a few of them are supportive.
Mm-hmm.
The white supremacists allow that, okay? They give them enough to be supportive. But they allow it. All the black people who win awards and all like that and for this, that, and the other and get all kinds of paper to hang on the wall saying they have scholars in this and, you know, and black professors of colleges and teaching classes of even white people and all like that. But a black male cannot be a father in the system of white supremacy. It's impossible. All of the fathers of all black people are white in 2024. They're the illegitimate fathers, every last one of them. The white supremacists, that is. Not talking about all white people.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'm not slam dunking on that. I mean, I cannot say that because I can't say it because I don't have any way to prove it, not even to
yes.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we are under the system of white supremacy. I do know that. There's only one government, and that's something else that I want to say over and over again because I keep hearing it. That there's such a thing as an American government, and there never has been. Never. Not for 5 minutes has there been anything that resembles an American government.
Mm-hmm.
We keep
okay.
saying that. We keep saying the government of America, the United States, there's never been nothing like that. That's talk.
Yes, just talk.
Sincere
yes.
talk, and it should be. We need an American government and an African government and an Asian government, and we don't have any of them. Any of them. The evidence shows this. Not none. Not an African government. None. Zero. Not Asian. None. Zero. And certainly not American. They're all the same thing. People who practice justice. And there's no way to practice justice in the system of white supremacy. That is the world government, people. Get in the habit of saying that. There is no other government, period. None.
All right. Okay, you got it. All right, thank you, Mr. Fuller. Let's go to the new caller, and then hopefully we'll get to you, Corey. New caller, let me just make sure. It says Bo Money. Hopefully I got it right. Bo Money, get ready. I'm getting ready to put the cursor over on you. New caller. Okay, Bo Money, you are on
hey, how you doing,
with
Mr.
Fuller. Mr. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My name is Bo Money, but that's
oh,
okay.
Oh, Bo Money, okay.
Not
okay.
a big deal. But I just wanted to say this. First, I had a VGQ, And I'm gonna keep. I know I'll keep all of this brief. I respect and love you, brothers. I've been listening to you and Mr. Fuller for years. So let me do this. So I wanted to give my appreciation to Mr. Fuller because I've been exposed to his logic and concepts several times over the past 30 years, and didn't even know who he was until maybe 20 years ago. I was a student. I had a professor had one of his books in his library, the code book. It had these numbers and whatnot on there. And I said, wow, this is a fascinating-looking book. And so that was my first exposure. Then I went to college and ended up learning of Frances Cress Welsing and went to a seminar that she provided, and she spoke a lot about a man named Nellie Fuller. And so that was then. And so then 20 years ago, I'm on YouTube, it's been around a while, and I'm hearing this older brother talk and try to tell people how the system white supremacy work, and I'm thinking like, wait a minute, I've been thinking about that my whole life. I was like, do they have meetings together? How do these white people do this? And because of Mr. Fuller, I followed Black History, the John Henry Clarks, the Malcolm X, all these people helped me, but Mr. Fuller helped me get the template to see, like, oh, it's areas of activity and it's across the world, and you could have a whole island of white people that are not white supremacists. And then one white supremacist come to that island, and it could change all of those people's mentality to being a white supremacist and abusing black folk, et cetera. So I wanted just one thing, just to make sure that Mr. Fuller knows that his book has worked for me. I have both books. I had a boss that was a boss and a boss's supervisor who tried to unrighteously use me because they didn't like the direction I was doing. I had things going properly. They wanted to make changes. Used his book, went to the various parts, used the logic, used questions and answers, and they are no longer where I'm working at. I survived, but they did not. So Mr. Fuller book works. I have talked to people, and I think Mr. Fuller wants feedback in his lifetime because he has been doing this for his life. So Mr. Fuller, most people I know who have your book say that it is useful. I have met a person or two, like I've heard you mention, say, well, I really couldn't use that book very much, but that's their code to understand that, so I don't have examples for them. So that was my VGQ, just my appreciation. And you too, Brother Bobby, I've been listening to you for a while, bro, and you came along. I love it. You and Mr. Fuller make a great team.
Still so learning. What's your question, Mr. Fuller, and thank you.
I'm sorry. My question is this. Is it wrong under Mr. Fuller, his response is what I'm saying, I have my code adapted to me, but is it wrong under the code to say that the WS is showing some signs of collapse, not decline, or just because they have cracks in it, something can last forever. The Roman Coliseum lasts forever, probably could still be used for gladiatory games. But we're seeing things in the WS, system white supremacy, I call it WS, we're seeing things we hadn't seen before. In broad daylight, Donald Trump, a president, tried to overthrow an election. He's literally going door to door across the area of activity of law and judgeships, et cetera, and he's knocking on doors. Who's with me? Now, some of them ain't opening the doors, and I'm saying, I'm making the analogy, these are white people plugged into the white power structure, and they could say, hey, come this way, we'll do this, we'll do that, which is the Supreme Court might be doing. So we're seeing unprecedented things, in my opinion. Is it too wrong to say that we're seeing cracks in the WS?
Okay, cracks in the white. You say cracks in the system of white supremacy.
That's what me and my family call it. Yes,
okay,
sir.
All right, Mr. Fuller.
I would think it looks to me like what you're saying is true, and from what I'm seeing and hearing, but you have to be cautious with that because the white supremacists just might be going through another refinement stage.
Yeah.
And they're making a show. To cover up what they really are doing, okay? They are masters at magic. See, magic means you know how to do things that it looks like you're doing one thing and you're doing just the opposite. Rabbit out of a hat and all that type of stuff. So you have to be cautious, but I do believe, for one thing, I believe that a lot of white people, in fact, a substantial number, are saying, yeah, we are guilty. And so we want to now not focus on the guilt and all like that, who's guilty and who did this and who did that. There seems to be a substantial number of white people worldwide that are saying, enough of this racism altogether. Let's get back to what we started out to do in the first place. Because a lot of white people are sincere about that. And that is have a world in which no one is mistreated, because that's all that we're asking for. A world in which no one is mistreated, ever, for any reason. And a world in which everyone who needs help the most gets it. Gets it. Not just have people stand around and talk about it forever. Okay, we had too much of that forever. Okay? And certainly not go back to what's going on even among white people over there in Russia and the Ukraine, trying to do that same old show. I mean, been there, done that over and over again. Now, those are white people killing white people. But stop this murder. That's all it is. Call it what it is. Just nothing but wholesale murder. And standing around parading about it and all like that. That stuff should have been ancient, even among so-called African tribes and all that. That's a bunch of foolishness, all of it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. But the white supremacists are promoting that now because they are in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Even the African tribes that are doing it. They can stop it. They can stop it. All that stuff going on in Haiti, that's the white supremacists. That's the white supremacists all the way.
Yes.
They are doing it. So just stop. Be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
They can put a stop to that that's going on in Haiti and Somalia and all the rest of these places in 5 minutes.
Yes, right.
All of it.
That's right.
They know how to change people's minds quick. And they know, and they got the stuff to do it with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. I mean, when you start coming around with all the materials that the white supremacists have warehoused, I mean, and handing out things, I mean, all of a sudden people get real quiet.
Real quiet.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know I do if I'm hungry and all of a sudden somebody shows up with a truckload of my favorite food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get quiet. I ain't got time to talk. I'm too busy eating.
All right. Bomani, thank you for your call. Hey, as we do with all first-time callers, do not be a stranger. Thank you for your call, my brother. Okay, we're going to go to Corey here. I just want to say this, what Mr. Fuller just said. You have to remember that in this system, they are constantly refining it. Refining it. I mean, daily refining it. And also, I want to say this, when we get time today, we're going to give some thoughts on the Shawshank Redemption, some observations. But first, we're going to go to Corey. Get ready, Corey, in Milwaukee. Here we go. Let's see if I can get that over there. Okay, Corey, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, and good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, sir.
Can I remain on the line after the call, Mr. Bobby, please?
Yes, sir. I'll do my best to keep you there. Go ahead,
okay,
sir.
Thank you. I wanted to share this real quick. Bessie Stringfield, the motorcycle queen of Miami, she was the first black woman to ride across the United States solo on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the few civilian motorcycle dispatch riders during World War II.
Hmm.
So, Mr. Fuller, what you're speaking about concerning Women's History Month and black women in particular, as a black male in wanting to produce justice, in my relation and association with black females, what is a codified suggestion or set of questions when black females seem to, some seem to gravitate towards having a sexual relationship with white men? How do we, as a...
The white supremacists are in charge of black people's sexuality, period. Regardless of how it looks on the surface. We get all of our signals about sexuality from them. Whichever the white supremacists take us, that's the way we go. And we think that we're doing it. We think we're pioneering this and pioneering that. No. I mean, we are completely brainwashed. And the white supremacists are they're superior at it, at brainwashing people and having you go along with whatever it is that they want you to do. That's what you'll be doing. The white supremacists know what drugs are put out and all of this, and we just rise to it. We don't think about anything. We don't double think about nothing twice. We don't think twice. We don't much think once. We hate doing any kind of thinking. We love to act. We love to keep our feet moving, I mean, and, you know, and turning flips and standing on our heads. But ask us to do a little bit of thinking, and we just don't have any experience with that. Think. I ain't got time to think. Let them white folks do the thinking. They're sitting around doing a whole lot of thinking, getting quiet. I want to make some noise. That's where that expression came from. We invented that. Make some noise. Well, that's one thing we definitely don't need.
Yes.
Okay. We don't need no more noise. Noise, noise does not serve a constructive purpose. Never has. Okay? We either need quiet or we need music. Now, what is music? Music is a sound. Anything that's a sound that makes you think constructively. But black people have been taught to worship noise, not music. We don't know nothing about music. Or very little. And disdain it when we hear it. Because it's too constructive, too peaceful. You know, makes you think about doing things that are going to work out for everybody, going to feed more people and all that. Well, hey, let white folks do it. You know, let them worry about that. You know, you want me to worry. All right? And we got more worries than anybody. On account of we go against the laws, not just of the white supremacists, but the laws of the universe.
That's
what my book tries to bring us to. We need to center not just because Neely Fuller is saying something or any other person, you know, go to the universal laws. They are universal laws. Study how the universe works. And you say, well, going out of space and all like that. No, right here. What is universal law? Anything that produces a constructive result.
Yes.
Once you latch on to that, you got it.
You got
it.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what one of the callers said. In fact, that's what Mr. Carl Nelson says on his program.
Yes.
He said, it took me a long time to figure out what Fuller was saying, because I'm real sloppy at saying what I'm supposed to be saying. I'm real sloppy at that. but I try to do the best I can in my raggedy country boy way. All right.
Yes, it does take a moment to have it grasp a hold of. But and that's why the book was written. The book was written that you can get by going to producejustice.com, which is a book of suggestions of what to do and what not to do in this system of racism, white supremacy. Corey, before I put you on hold, what was the name of that black woman that was a racer across the country, you said?
Sorry. It's Bessie Stringfield, B-E-S-S-I-E.
Okay.
Stringfield, like both words.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, and I'll put you on hold. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask Mr. Fuller, does he have a suggestion of a set of questions or statements to give to a black female who does not see the harm in under the system of white supremacy of having sexual relations with a white man?
Okay.
Is there any statement or questions that you would suggest, Mr. Fuller?
Okay.
Well, you can just have her read the textbook for victims of white supremacy in the eighth area of activity, which is sex, and see what she thinks. I mean, you know, and if she can act on what she thinks is the way to go. But as far as dictating and whatnot, we're not in position to do that. We gave up the black female. And in fact, we have glorified, not only just giving it up, I mean, we have abused the black female, and really, we're the world's biggest pimps ever. We black males, and every black female knows it.
Mm-hmm.
We're pimping our mothers and sisters. I mean, come on.
Wow. Okay.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But anyway, thank you, Corey, for that. And don't forget to get the book by going to Produce Justice. Well, I know you already have the book, Corey. I certainly believe you do. But for all the new callers on the line, and we are going to get to you, Tina in Los Angeles, and Anthony in Nashville, which is not a new caller, but we're going to get to you. But for those of you who are new to the program and new online, you need to go to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com and order the book and get it. It's a book of suggestions. Come on, Mr. Bobby, of what to do and what not to do in all the nine areas of people activity. It's right there. These are suggestions of how to do this. And then, of course, we're going to give some thoughts and have Mr. Fuller address some very pointed thoughts about the Shawshank Redemption. But in the meantime and in between time, as Mr. Fuller will be on the Carl Nelson Show this Thursday, check it out. Check it out this Thursday from 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. Mr. Fuller will be on with Carl Nelson. So make sure you get an opportunity to listen and learn. I'm looking forward to it. This Thursday at 8 a.m. on the Carl Nelson Show. Mr. Fuller, the final thoughts as we wrap this first hour up.
ProduceJustice.com, and every move that you make, including with the black female, make it constructive. You want a constructive result. I'm going to say
good.
That about everything.
Constructive result.
Right.
All right. Thank you, everybody, in the first hour for listening. You came through like a champion that you are, and you really are. Thank you for all your calls, Gmails, and all that. So if you have to go, hopefully we will have you listen next week. Hopefully we'll be here to present the show. We thank you again. Forgive me, again, for all the mistakes that I've made, but we have tried to do better. For those of you who are going to be around for the second hour, you know what Mr. Bobby always say, stick and stay, don't go away, we'll be black in about 10 seconds. Thank you.
morning and welcome back to the second hour. You heard it right. Welcome back to the second hour of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neil E. Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and we do thank you for listening to today's program. Let's see here. Now, we want you to call in, and many have. We have you on hold, or we have you here. I can see your name, even new callers. But anyway, let me give you the number. It is 516-453-9921. That's the number you call. When you get that, the call screener will come on. Give the call screener your name so that Mr. Bobby can give you a proper introduction without messing it up. And trust me, I will mess it up. Not on purpose, but I will mess it up. So I apologize in advance for that. Give a call screening your name, and then you may ask your question. Please, ma'am, please, sir, give a short VGQ because we only have a certain amount of time. So give a short, if you need to give a VGQ, give a short one, and then, you know, ask your question, and then give Mr. Fuller time enough to answer your question, because the one thing that we do not want to do in the precious time that we have is we don't want to be the authors of confusion in this system of white supremacy racism as they continually refine it. So please make sure that you you do that. Now, a second way that you can get in contact with the show is through me with my Gmail, and it is this. The numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY, at gmail.com. I will get it. I will let you know. And at a certain time, when the call volume is maybe a little low, I will read it as I have read, I think, two today anyway. I've read two today. And give you the credit on that and whatever else is necessary for that. And lastly, you can join the chat room. Thank you, chatters. Thank you, chatters. You can join the chat room. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, and then you want to make sure that you click on programs, the program menu. And the program you want, when you click that on, it'll come up and it gives you a list of shows. And the shows that you want is the show that you want is the Produce Justice show. You get on that, and then, baby, you are in. And then you can do your chat with the chatters in there. And occasionally I will pick up on something that's in there, and then I will formulate a question. And if something is relevant that you have said, I will also give you the credit for that question that that I have formulated, and we can go on from there and have Mr. Fuller comment on that. So I think that is it. Oh, yeah, he said that this is Women's History Month, so make sure that you check that out, particularly if you have any stories of black women in various fields. They don't necessarily have to be black women, but women in various fields that maybe we don't know about or I don't know about, you know, share with us. This is share time. Okay. And don't forget, I'm going to have some thoughts or have Mr. Fuller's thoughts on a very poignant movie that he has mentioned, which is called The Shawshank Redemption, Different Points, that Mr. Fuller had pointed out that when I looked at it again, I said, you know what? This is good that we could speak about it. But being good, as we have sunshine here in Columbus, out there in Los Angeles, we're going to go to Tina. Tina, get ready. I'm getting ready to get you in here. Let me move this cursor over. Okay, Tina in Los Angeles, here we go. New caller. Okay, let's see here. Wait a minute. There we go. Tina, good morning. You're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning. And my name is Taylor, but good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning.
My question is as follows. According to the code, what is the best way to deal with being spoken to in a condescending tone by a suspected white supremacist in the workplace?
Mr. Fuller?
The best way to deal with the white supremacist in the workplace?
Yes, when they're speaking to you in a condescending tone.
When they speak to you in a condescending tone?
Yes.
You just think about what it is you're supposed to be doing and what everybody else is supposed to be doing, and that's practicing justice. See, now they can use whatever kind of voice they want to, but is it constructive? I mean, everything is in one of two categories. It's just one of two ways to go. That's why these are the laws of the universe. It's either constructive or it's not. Now, all that drama and whatnot, don't pay any attention to that at all. I mean, people having a hostile look and all that, that's drama. That's hot air. Just look at what they're doing and what the result is. That's all that counts. What they're thinking and all like that, you don't bother with that. Don't bother with it. That's an added burden on you. I mean, I know about emotions and all like that, but just look at what people do. I mean, some of the most treacherous white people in the world, in fact, the most treacherous, the most dangerous, the most lethal, are those who have a pleasing personality. And then some of the white people who will use the N-word in a minute will also, of the white people, sometimes, and I've met some, I can tell the difference because I stay focused on what's essential and what's not. I've been around white people who use the N-word all the time. But when they would do certain things that I want done, that's all I concentrate on. Black people have to learn that. That's a part of the code. You don't get faked out by no kind of personalities. I don't think she likes me. She doesn't have to. What does she do? She don't like me, but when it comes to promotions and stuff like that, I mean, you know, she always stands up for me.
Mm-hmm.
But she don't like me. I've heard her use the N-word and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be bothered by that at all. At all. At all. Condescending? Don't pay no attention to that. That's drama. Black people get caught up in drama. And I can understand this because, you know, everything is about, well, I know it wasn't a thing to do, but that's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't a thing to do, don't do it.
Hmm.
We got to get away from that. They call it being grown up.
Hmm. Okay.
I hope that answers the question. It's not scientific.
Yes.
Everything in the universe is scientific if it works.
Yes, sir. Did that answer your question, Tina?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you for calling in, and as I always try to do, for all new callers, you better not be a stranger. All right, Tia, thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Okay, all righty. All right, thank you. Okay, let's continue on, and let's go down to Nashville. Yes, that's right, Nashville, and that is going to be Anthony. Let me see here, Anthony. Let me get you in here. Anthony? Okay, wait a minute. Take a little time. Okay, Anthony, good morning. You're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Hey, good morning. I have a VGQ, but I'm not going to be rambling. It's going to be short, and then I have a question for Mr. Fuller. Now, the VGQ is, I recommend all black people and non-whites who are listening in, because I know white people are not listening in to this podcast. They don't even take us serious when we talk about racism. So I recommend all non-whites and black people to buy this book called Nutricide by Laila Africa. And I also recommend all of us to listen and support this brother by the name of Minister of Wellness, Nathaniel Jordan. So my question is to Mr. Fuller. We're not going to change white people. Neither are we going to change their system. Only thing we can change is ourselves. So one of the things I know is a problem amongst us black people is this American, I mean, this so-called American, which is really European, diet that is really killing a lot of us. And it's I notice it's not really the main focus. You know, we talk about racism all the time, but we're not really focusing on what we eat and stuff. So a lot of us is just dying left and right. So the question I want to ask you is, like I said, this diet is which is killing us. Why not focus on our eating habits more so than racism?
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
All of it is focusing on racism. Everything that we do and eating habits is in one of the first things in the textbook for victims of white supremacy under economics is eat and sleep correctly and no more than necessary. That's in the textbook, right in your face, under economics. I think it's on the first page under economics, at the beginning of the book. And one of the instructions, the suggestions, eat and sleep correctly and only as necessary. Now that covers, you know, everything about what they call the Mediterranean diet and everything else. I got the Mediterranean diet on my shelf. I haven't read much of it because it calls for a lot of instructions in cooking and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I try to eat healthy as best I possibly can. I look at the ingredients and on everything that I pick up on the shelf.
Yes, sir.
And if I see a whole lot of what I call poison, because that's what they serve on television and advertising and whatnot, in these cereals, that's why you see all these box cereals right up front in the grocery stores and whatnot for the most part. And potato chips and all like that. Just look and see what the ingredients are. It's mostly chemicals. Some of the drinks that are put out. In fact, I don't drink none of that. None of the name brand, what you call soft drinks. They're not soft at all. That's pure poison. I mean, just look at the ingredients. You don't see nothing that resembles food in there. And it's loaded with what? More than anything, everything. Too much salt and too much sugar.
Sugar, yes.
Sugar, 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 sugar. Stuff that ain't even, you wouldn't think it didn't have any sugar in it. It's loaded with sugar. And at the same time, they'll say sugar is killing black people. I mean, hand over fist. Diabetes of every type. Colon cancer. Too much sugar. Too much grease. Lots of things that we are used to. So the caller is correct. And so I'm saying that in the book. Do everything, and even though I didn't elaborate, but health, like a lot of people have said, that should have been one of the nine areas of activity and make it 10. But if you do all the things that are under economics, which economics is health, if you don't have a healthy mind and a healthy body, you're not being economical at all.
At all. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. The economics is out. I don't care how much money you got. You see people sitting up there eating in all these fancy restaurants. Look past all the glitz and glitter and all the bling bling. Don't get caught up in that. Look at what is on that plate.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole bunch of stuff that you see on television.
Mm-hmm.
dine here, dine there. I mean, come in this place and eat this. And they stand right there and put the food together. And what you're looking at is a whole lot of poison.
Yes, sir.
For the most part. Just pile it on. It looks good, and boy, it tastes, and you know, it tastes off the hook.
Oh yeah,
if you taste it. Oh yeah, it tastes great, but it's pure poison, and it's killing you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, Anthony.
The call is correct. Yes, I mean,
yes,
by all means. I mean, because if you don't, like Hyman Roth said. In the movie Godfather, he said, Michael, health is everything, more than wealth, more than anything else. I mean, look at all the black people who got tons of money, and look at the physical shape that they're in.
Yes.
All right? Just take a look at it and ask how they got that way.
Okay. Educate yourself. I'm going to speak... Ebonically, educate yourself, but you're correct, Anthony, about that health. Read and understand to what to do and what not to do, or what to eat and what not to eat. You got to educate, ebonically speaking, yourself to find out what's going on. Still learning. Still learning. All righty. Thank you, Anthony. Nashville in the house. Okay, here we go. Get ready, y'all. When I say that, you know what's up. Here he comes. He's from the Yo. Oh, yeah. And we don't mean Zanesville either. We mean Youngstown, Ohio. Here he is. Wait a minute. How about that? Talif, I was getting ready to get you in here, but you got off the screen. All right, we'll call back and see if we can get you on here. Anyway, in the meantime and in between time, going up to Cleveland, and here is Austin. Austin, and not Austin Carr either. Austin. Let's see if we can get you in here. All right, go ahead, Austin. You're on.
Hey, thank you so much, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Fuller. I actually had a question for Mr. Fuller about reading. Mr. Fuller, I know you read pretty often, very much every day, and I'm a very avid reader myself, but sometimes in books or, you know, wherever I'm reading, I read and come across things that are, to say it quite outright, pretty ridiculous and outlandish. So my question to you, Mr. Fuller, is, cause, you know, whenever I come across things like that, I usually put books down and whatnot, but should I keep reading the material, or should I just put the books down or move on to something else, or what were your thoughts on that?
The question is what? That in reading the book, you're having what kind of problem?
I usually come across something that I disagree with.
Oh, don't. Hey, if it doesn't make sense to you, do not touch it. Don't go near. Hey, something has to make sense to you. You're the person that's doing the reading. Boy, if it doesn't make sense to you, don't you touch it until it does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people have told me that. I said, that's the way the book is supposed to work. It's not a dictatorship, and Neely Fuller may not know what he's talking about. You have to know the difference, all right? Or there are things, you know, I say right off that these are just things to think about, start with. Do your own thinking. Don't take Neely Fuller's word for nothing.
Correct.
And if you have doubts about it and whatnot, and you can put it to a safe test, test it and see if he knows what he's talking about. Because Neely Fuller, I'm just trying to find out stuff myself. That's why I'm writing a book. I'm saying, hey, solving this problem, all of our problems, is a work in progress.
Still learning.
And yes. That's why I say you can join with everybody, all the white people and whatnot, when we start talking about the Constitution of the United States. Don't say anything against the Constitution of the United States, period. Particularly all those amendments. I mean, Hey, that's a part of the code. And you talk and speak and act on the job and everywhere else. That's one of the best things in the world ever written. The 13th Amendment, the 5th Amendment, the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, the 1st Amendment. Oh, yeah. This is a part of the code. The code is not anti-constitution of the United States, all right? If that's where you make your center, and that should be your center. That's why I say don't speak against America, because the code, my code, and the Constitution of the United States really are almost one and the same. Also, my code is supposed to be in lockstep with huge portions, I mean, like stealing from the Bible. It better be. The Bible has lasted for many years, and it's a reason for that. Nothing lasts for very long if it's based on falsehood, all right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, but there are a lot of things that, in the Bible that, you know, a lot of people say, well, everything in the Bible is, you know, is what you believe in. That's the word of the Lord. Not necessarily. But so much of it, you can pretty well confirm, is that you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
No, you do not. Thank you.
Using an old expression. Mm-hmm. And that's true of the Quran, of the writings of the Hindu scriptures. I mean, it's a lot of things, but here again, I'm saying, if you don't understand it, or if it's something that you don't think you can use, don't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give this illustration for the umpteenth time. One of the first people that I showed my book, the original copy, 1984 edition, he took it and kept it for a few days, then he came back and gave it back to me. He said, you know what, Fuller? You know what I got to say about your book? And I said, I was all eager and whatnot. And I said, what? Because I was looking for something favorable. Mm-hmm. And he said, there ain't nothing in there that I can use. And then I thought immediately, I said, you know what? That's the way the book is supposed to work. It works if you need it. If you can't find nothing in it that'll help you do what you think ought to be done, then don't do it. And now that I think about it, don't do that under any circumstance with any book that you pick up.
Absolutely. I almost said hallelujah on that one. All righty. Austin, thank you up there in Cleveland.
Thank you both so much. Thank you.
You are so welcome, my brother. Okay, let me do this one here. Let's see here. Let's go to, AP, get ready, man. Get ready, AP, see if I don't mess it up. Boy, I've been messing up today. Okay, AP, let's see here. Let me see. There we go. AP, got you in. Brandon, we got you coming up. Go ahead, AP.
Good morning, Mr. Fuller and Mr. Bobby.
Yes, sir.
I want to speak about, since you have your book, please get the book ready. I have a few pages that I would like to go over with you in your new 2016 revised book. Okay? I'd like to make this VGQ first, though, please, if I may.
Ask Mr. Bobby for that.
Well, let me see. AP, I'm looking at the clock here, and you got 6 minutes in this segment. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. You have on page number 246, you have a term in there called eclectic pluralism. 267.
Page 267?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Page 267. I'd like to make a reference about that because we're in a time right now where truth is being revealed more. I like to speak to I grew up as what's classified as a Christian. I'm a I'll just say my age, approximately. I won't tell you exact age, but I'm in my 60s. And I grew up as a so-called Christian, classified as a Christian. And listening to, like, I grew up in a church, but I classify myself as an eclectic pluralist, like Neely Fuller, for the fact that if we read in there, it says a compensatory functional religion based on principles derived from two or more systems of religion. Do you see that on that
page? I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And you have six areas that you point to, and so I'm talking about the areas on that page of 4 and 5.
Okay.
Okay.
Contemporary, compensatory functional religion?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
4 and 5 is also, it says, from, also it's the same things that's being said more directedly towards two or more social or material systems or concepts. Do we see that?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I say that to say this. I listen to more frequently as my food for everything that I get to try to continue to learn and expand my thinking and my consciousness. I listen to the Nation Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam quite a lot, and I listen to Geno Jennings, a pastor on the Christian side. So I look in to see in Mr. Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam, I see a Muslim preacher that sounds like a Christian. And in Geno Jennings, I see a Christian preacher that sounds quite a lot like Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam, speaking to truth to power. They don't water down what they teach. They teach the truth, and it's objectively and more directly than anyone else that I hear in today's time that speaks to that. Now, last week you brought up Jeremiah Wright and that 10-minute, I think, video that you talked about that was taken out of context because in the system of racism, white supremacy, racist white supremacists are very good at taking out of context and using what they want to use for their means and for how they want to set the narrative to pimp Americans, pimp the world. Did you by any chance, Mr. Bobby or Mr. Fuller, see the president's last State of the Union address? Because I want to make a comment about that after you answer.
I saw most of it.
Okay, in that, I saw the whole thing. In that, I saw that also, I want to go back and say that in the Savior's Day message that the Nation of Islam had on the 25th of February, 2 weeks ago, Mr. Farrakhan spoke about making a suggestion to the president, Biden. He spoke, he asked and suggested that Biden get the courage to speak to and use the power of his presidency to stand up against Netanyahu, Jewish leaders, and he made a reference about also Putin and Donald Trump. Now, we see Donald Trump in this presidential election speak a lot about lies. You're going to see it ramp up more going on until the election comes in November. The tactics that Mr. Fuller is speaking to today, outright lying, outright setting a narrative and tone about how the election is going and what's going on. I also want to speak to and say something about I would suggest that the listening audience listen to the Nation of Islam's just message about, it's called the genocide of our Palestinian family. That can be looked up on. If people want to search this out, don't have to listen to me say it. They can listen to it themselves and draw their own conclusions and their own opinions about it. You can go to media.noi.org and search that out and pull that up. I suggest that everybody listen to that because it could be coming to black people right here in America with everything that's going on. The invasion of all the people that are coming into America, the border issue is an issue that they're talking about. It's very hot. It's a topic of discussion. So we have two wars that are going on right now. You know about it. I suggest that everybody listen to that. Search that out and listen to it. I also suggest that they listen out Satan Casting Out Satan, 2016 video that the Nation of Islam had out when Obama was going against Hillary Clinton. That was brought out now. So you see right now both sides in terms of the Republicans and the Democrats or whoever wants to set the narrative of what's being said, you see in both sides snitching on one another. That's what I'm going to call it. So that video, Satan Casting Out Satan, speak to that. That was spoken of in 2016. I suggest that everybody listen to that as much as possible. And on the subject of war,
AP, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we are up against the break.
Okay.
Actually, you went over to 6 minutes, so
okay.
I'm going to have to wrap this one up.
Then my question is then also, Mr. Fuller.
I have to do the break first, and then you can ask your question. Let me do the break first.
Hang on. Thank you, Mr. Bobby.
Okay.
I got you.
All right. You're listening to the Counter Racist Soul Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and you can hear it. We're glad here at the CRCS. And all you have to do if you want to call in is 516-453-9921. 516-453-9921. Press your number one button if you have a question, please. And also, if you want to do a VGQ, listen, people, it's got to be short because we only have a certain amount of time. If we had more time, we would allow that, but we can't. We know your question and your comments are important, but please keep in mind that we are under a time constraint. So please, please, ma'am, please, sir, please do that. Please do that. First-time callers, all you have to do is do that same thing, but give the call screen of your name so I can get you in, and we're going to try to get you in this two-hour window that we have. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7. Mr. Bobby, MRBOBBY at gmail.com. I will get it. I will let you know, and I will read it over the air, and you can go from there. And lastly, you can go into the chat room. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com. You want to make sure that you click on programs, and the program you want is the Produce Justice Show. You do that, and the chat room becomes available to you. If I see something interesting or a hot topic in there, I will get it, and I will formulate a question to ask the people about that and give you the credit if it's due to you on that stage. Okay, again, this is important. Mr. Fuller will be on this Thursday. That is the 14th of this month, March, on the Carl Nelson Show at 8 a.m., 8 until 10 a.m. Make sure you tune in. You can also get it on producejustice.com. I think our website is up for that. But Mr. Fuller is on there, so make sure that you get a chance to get that. And also the book of suggestions, the code book. You can go to producejustice.com and get that book, The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. At producejustice.com. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Okay, AP, ask your question so we can get it on here. Go ahead, ask your question, please.
Mr. Fuller, you do speak about all your nine areas of people activity. What do you think about, or do you think that voting, we have a lot of people that don't think that voting is important and that it makes no difference. And I will say to that if it wasn't so important, why do we see that in a system of racism, white supremacy, they go against or they fight against voting rights for people to have that? And democracy is a subject of contention right now that they say when you listen to programs like MSNBC, I listen to that quite a lot, every day almost, and then try to sort everything out and make the most constructive decision. So what do you think about voting as a construct or something that can be exercised that people should do and can do to make a decision on the presidential election that's coming this November? That's my question.
Okay, Mr. Fuller?
You go by what the results are, always. That's in any move that people are making, any time of day, in any area of activity, you're always looking for what? Constructive results. Now, the record shows, always go by what really is, what really does happen. The record shows that voting overall helps better than harms black people. Now, that's what most black people, I mean, black people who really count on getting help, want help. They say, well, you don't get nowhere near what you should have and nowhere near what you want to happen. But you get a little bit of something some of the time. Well, the logic is a little bit of something is better than a whole lot of nothing. So the answer is vote.
All right.
For the most part, vote. Vote some kind of way, and there's hope that something happens, but don't count on it.
Don't count on it. Okay.
But if you don't vote at all, it's been proven that you're pretty guaranteed not to get nothing. So a little bit of something, as the old saying goes, is better than a whole lot of nothing.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, AP. Okay. We got to move it along here. Let's go to the new caller. Looks like it's Brandon in Virginia Beach. New caller alert. Here we go. Brandon, Jam Radio Media. Brandon, you are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question, sir? Brandon? Okay, I'm going to do it one more time. Brandon in Virginia Beach, new caller. Are you there? Going once, going twice. We hear you in the background or whatever you have. Okay, Brandon, I got to let you go because I don't hear you in. Okay, so let's go to Talif. There we go. Hopefully we can get you in. I don't know what happened, why we didn't. This is the brother from the Yo. That's nationwide. Now everybody know you, who you are, Talif. Go ahead, my brother. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. Yeah, for some reason, I kept getting kicked off.
There's something going on. Yeah, there's something going on. But go ahead here, because the phone line
anyway,
is jamming now. Go ahead.
Since you mentioned women, don't forget Annie Malone. People talk about Madam C.J. Walker, but they never tell you about Annie Malone, who C.J. Walker, Madam C.J. Walker actually studied up under. Annie Malone had 75,000 agents worldwide. And don't forget,
whoa,
Henrietta, and don't forget, and this was in the early 1920s, so they'll tell me we can't start businesses today.
All
and
right.
Don't forget Henrietta Lacks, who they still using her sales today for science and to help. Anyway, real quick, I sent you a video. There's a song, Mr. Fuller, called by this group SOS, who was famous for like car wash, and they made a song called "Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is," or "You Ain't Saying Nothing," or "Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is," or "You Ain't Saying a Darn Thing." But they didn't say darn.
And
anyway,
we know what they said.
Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Fuller, I have a lot of people that work for me or help me with the business I run, all different colors. So there was what y'all call a so-called white guy. He hears me listen to you sometimes. He actually has your book, but he works in the daytime. And he says if he was on the phone, he would say, tell Mr. Fuller, well, I always hear him say the so-called black people are always talking loud and saying nothing. But he said, Mr. Fuller, he said he wanted to tell you his people, the so-called white folks, are the biggest ones that do all the talking that don't say nothing. And he said he wants you to answer that, Mr. Question, and he'll listen to the call later on today.
Okay.
So anyway, that's my – I have something more to say, but for time, I'll talk about it next week. But anyway, have a good day. And Mr. Fuller, that was his question to you. He said, no. He said, tell Mr. Fuller, I beg the difference. We white folks, we do the biggest talking, but don't say nothing.
Okay, I'll have Mr. Fuller address that. Okay, Mr. Fuller, thank you, Telly.
His question was what?
About, he said a lot of white folks that are talking loud. He said he begs to differ with you, but he said that there's a lot of white folks that are talking loud and saying nothing, and he wanted you to address that. This is coming from a white guy.
Yes, that's true. That's true. They do with black people all the time because they know that black people are just listening to anything that doesn't lead nowhere. We train that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we have an expression. Make some noise.
Yeah.
All right? That's our expression. We're proud of it. Make some noise. Just hey, don't be scientific. Don't, you know, I mean, you fool around and be doing some serious thinking. You get quiet. No, make some noise. Keep noise going on. I mean, you know, so that nobody can think. Man, thinking is, man, that's rough. Boy, please, don't make me think. You tell me to go and sit down somewhere and quietly do some thinking, make some plans. Plans? Don't be wasting my time talking about making plans. Get the action on. That's us. We brag about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're the most stagnant people in the world.
Okay. All righty. All right.
And some white people are that way, too. You know, a lot of them own drugs and whatnot. But white people can be expected to do anything. That's why I'm saying all people are flawed.
Okay.
All these celebrations and whatnot, nobody's really eligible, logically speaking. I'm talking about universal law.
Exactly.
Nobody's qualified to brag about anything.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Got a lot of calls on the line, so let's go here. Hey, everybody, remember, because we do have a lot of people on the line. We know what you want to get it in there, so let's go. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Ray in Dallas. Two-question Ray from Dallas. Go ahead, Ray.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Just one question this morning. And
yes,
good
sir.
Morning, Mr. Fuller. And please leave me on the line, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Fuller, a few moments ago you spoke about not speaking out against the U.S. Constitution. For the record, what are your thoughts on the only exception clause in the U.S. Constitution is in the 13th Amendment, which legalizes slavery through which the white supremacist considers a crime?
Well, the 13th Amendment is about freeing black people, correct? Unless I'm being mistaken here.
Well, my point is the white supremacists create the circumstances for crimes, and the 13th Amendment outlaws slavery unless a crime is committed. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, the 13th Amendment outlaws slavery, right?
Yes, unless a crime is committed.
That's what it says.
Yes, unless a crime is committed, but the white supremacists, they control the conditions and they create the conditions in which crime is committed.
Sure. Mm. Yes. But see, the white supremacists are not into abolishing slavery. The system of white supremacy itself is the biggest slave system that ever existed in recorded history. The system of white supremacy itself. See, slavery, they say we are going about in that narrow focus that the white supremacists have black people do. We talk about when does slavery end. It didn't. The system of white supremacy is still in business, and that's the slave system. It's made slaves out of every black person on the planet.
You're
talking about a huge operation here that's been around, some scholars say, I mentioned earlier in this program, 2,000 years. But some scholars have said at least 6,000 years, the system of racism. has existed on this planet.
Yes.
At least 6,000.
Yes.
Boy, that's a long time for any business to run.
It's a long time, yes, sir. All righty. Yes, sir. Good question, Ray. And while you're at it, and while you're looking at that system, we have been systematically taught about the West African, the so-called West African slave trade, but you got to remember, or you got to think, or I'll tell you what, check out the East African slave trade, which is still going on. Check that out. Yeah, East Africa. They didn't tell you about that in your history books. Thank you, Ray. You're on the line. Okay, now I'm going to really mess this name up, but I'm going to try not to. It looks like it says TX. Please correct me if I'm wrong. In Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on the phone with Mr. Fuller. Did I get it right or did I get it wrong? Tell me.
You'll get a car, Mr. Bobby. You'll get a car. You get a car. Hey, how are you?
Okay, go ahead.
I know we're up against the clock. I'm going to be extremely a VGQ. You mentioned about Bessie Springfield, a motorcyclist, and then also about the race driver. I just wanted to share with the listeners about the EGI, the Equal Justice Initiative. They have a calendar that comes out annually, and each day it chronicles the history in black history in America. You can go online and Google it. But when you talked about the race car driver, I thought about something I read on that calendar. And
okay.
It's great wall, so you can find out what happened on this particular day throughout history each year. That's the VGQ. The other thing was, and I know we don't have enough time to talk about it, but I did want to drop the name of Jalopy for Mr. Fuller. He'll know what that is, who that is, because it ties in with his piece about everyone needs help the most gets the most happiness. You know, everyone who needs help gets help the most. And I think that Jalopy had an influence on Mr. Fuller's compassion for the least of us. And he could talk about that. And my question is chess and understanding racism, white supremacy. The game of chess and understanding racism, white supremacy. I Googled the rarest chess move just the other day. And when I saw what the rarest chess move is, it got me to thinking about understanding racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works. How many people don't even understand the game of chess? But if they looked at that YouTube clip about that rare move, just see how many people understand racism, white supremacy, what it is and how it works, and understand chess, and then they will get the connection. So my question is, Mr. Fuller, talk about how racism, white supremacy, and chess are not necessarily similar, but how it could help one to better understand what it is and how it works. Have a good
day. I don't know anything about chess, and very little about basic checkers, but Dr. Francis Wilson has a book that I haven't read called The ISIS Papers, where people have told me she talks, she writes extensively using the game of chess to show how the system of white supremacy works. And they say it's in that book. Now, I haven't read the book, and I haven't seen it. I've never read Dr. Wilson's book. Never have. But I understand from people who have read it, and she has said, I mean, she's talked about chess. She called it Chris Chess, kind of a nickname, because that's a middle name, Francis Chris Wilson. So if you can find that book now, I think it's still available. But as far as asking me about it, I gave her, when I talked to her, I was talking about checkers. But, and then she said, well, I'm going to look further into it, and I'm going to learn learn about how chess, which is more sophisticated.
Yes, it is.
Than checkers. Lots more. But basic checkers is similar to chess, but it's primitive compared to chess.
Exactly.
So,
the one, You're correct, Mr. Fuller. And the one good thing about chess is that it requires some thinking, logically thinking on what your move or next moves are going to be. Logically thinking in order to be successful in the game of chess. Okay. By the way, before let Tex go, he mentioned something about, you know something about jalopy. He said you would know what that means. And the only thing I can think of is a car, but what did he mean that you know something about the term jalopy?
Jalopy is a nickname for a person that I knew.
Okay.
And I don't even like to talk about it.
Well, he got us going. Even... Now you got to talk about it.
Well, jalopy was someone that worked for my father back in the 1940s. And he didn't know anything about his past, except the only thing he can remember is just being scared of something that he saw in the sky. Because he's just one of those anonymous people.
Mm-hmm.
What Gwendolyn Brooks would call just a plain black boy. Didn't have no teeth. All right. And completely illiterate, what you call, you know, just illiterate. And a drifter. Back in the 1940s. And very young. He didn't remember anything about his parents. He mostly just talked about living in the woods. You know, just like, you know, a nature boy, I mean. And he didn't know where he was born. He could not read or write. So by talking to him, we estimated that where he came from was Louisiana. The woods in Louisiana, that's all he remembered, you know. He was young, in his teens, and he just remembered mostly, didn't remember nothing about his people or nothing, just wandering, and mostly living in the woods, like an animal, okay? And he followed the railroad tracks, that's how black people used to travel.
Yeah.
Just walking along the railroad tracks and getting a ride on a freight car, going anywhere. Just if it's going in the direction you were trying to go. And I guess he did some of that.
Okay.
And but he wound up in Muskogee, Oklahoma, and my father had a restaurant and a hotel, and he went to work there as a dishwasher.
Okay.
And so, but here I would be around Jalopy. He got the nickname later on because he worked on old cars trying to get them working. Because he didn't have any skills at all, except just whatever people tell him to do, he'd do it.
Okay.
And so one day, I got exasperated with him. And then I told my father, I said, why do you keep Jalopy around here? And he said two things. He's always here because he's got no other place to go anyway. And he won't steal nothing for some reason. Anything that he wants, he'll ask you for it. I don't care if it's nothing but a toothpick. That's just the way he thinks. He's just, he's just naturally that way. He just won't steal nothing under any circumstance. Anything that's not his, he won't pick it up. He said, so I keep him around here. And the main reason I keep Jalopy around here is because nobody will help him.
Okay. Well, thank you for telling that story. It's very, very interesting. If we had more time, I would inquire more, but we got another call. But now I have a different perspective on Jalopy.
And he had an impact. My father said.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go to the ATL. Wayne, get ready, Wayne. We got you here for a few moments. I think we can get you in here. Go ahead, Wayne. You're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Long life to you and Dr. Fuller. I'll skip my VGQ and go straight to the question. Dr. Fuller, you had said about your book that you wrote, it was not well written, it was sloppy, and left some things out. My question is, what are some of the things that you left out, and what would you like to add? Thank you. I'll stay on the line.
Okay, stay on the line? Okay. All right, Mr. Fuller, as we wind this baby down, go ahead.
What would I like to add to the textbook?
Oh, and what did you leave out? Yeah, both.
Oh, everything that you can possibly name. Like all the books that are on my shelf, at least 500 of them, a whole lot of them, you know. My goodness, I'm overwhelmed with books.
Mm.
But my book, I got all kind of notes all over my desk right now that are supposed to be in my book. I mean, so it just goes on and on and on, the suggestions. And why? Because the problem is not solved. I set out to solve the race problem. That was my goal. Not initially, but after I started working on it, I said, I'm not just looking for a way to make a contribution. I hate that term. I'm trying to make a contribution. Make a contribution? Are you trying to solve the problem, Fuller? If you're not trying to solve the problem, then get out of the business altogether. And basically, that's the assignment that I set for myself.
Uh-huh.
So if I leave this planet without solving the problem, I will not have accomplished what I set out to do. And that's a fact. And that's the way I look at it.
Okay.
I mean, that whole idea of just, well, I'm trying to make things better. No, make
mm-hmm.
things absolutely the way they should be.
Should be, yes, sir. Okay.
But that's the goal I set for myself.
Outstanding. Okay. Wayne, that was a good question, Wayne. I tell you what, since we are short on time, we really are, call back next week with your other questions. We'd like to hear that. Okay, let's see. Nicole's gone. Okay. The person in the 847, let me tell you what to do. We're not going to have a chance to take your call because we only have a couple of minutes left, and I'm going to devote that to Mr. Fuller. But if you call back next week and give a call screener your name, if you're not doing it right now, we'll make sure that you get expedited to the top of the list, as well as you, Nicolette, because we just simply ran out of time. Hey, listen, thank you all for the callers. Please, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You really called in. I really appreciate that. Didn't get a chance to address the Shawshank Redemption points, but we'll get to that because that's very, very poignant. We'll get to that. Thank you again for all of your calls and your concerns. You did ask, for the most part, some outstanding questions, and we're all still learning. So, with that being said, we're getting ready to wrap this bad boy up. Mr. Fuller, we have about a minute to go, and since it was such a good day for calls and so forth, I'm going to give you that last minute. Go ahead, Mr. Fuller.
This is about females. That's how I started off this program, and I'm going to end with that. And here's a punchline, too, speaking of punches. Never, ever, this is in the code book, first time, last time, that's a slogan.
Yes.
That's codified. A black male, once you strike a black female, you are really out of your league now for sure. And it means that relationship, if you can call it that, is over.
So
when I say strike, any kind of physical force you use against particularly, well, really anybody unjustly, but particularly a black female, and you hit her, that so-called, it's no comeback from that. Just one time. The code says first time, last time.
Last time. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, that's the slogan.
Okay.
Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. And when you do it, lose your temper or whatever, it's over. I mean,
already.
And tomorrow, No. This
gotta
is over.
Go. ProduceJustice.com.
ProduceJustice.com.
And thank you, everybody. All right, we'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.